All right.
Tonight,
the following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Radio Dan Show, starring Dan Delgado. And don't forget me, intern Jessica, coming at you live on www.talkradiox.com from the Two Tone Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's hot down here, and it's filled with storms, lots of hurricanes and tropical storms. And just rain, a lot of rain all the time, every day. And heat, lots of heat. It's always freaking hot. There's never any coldness. No snow. One time they said we might get snow. We did not even get anything near snow. Car dealerships were saying they would give out free cars if it snowed, because they knew it was Florida and it was not going to snow.
What are you doing?
Listen, you don't know, so don't worry.
I'm just asking. What are you doing? What is it you think you're doing tonight? Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the program. My name is Dan Delgado. This is the Radio Dan Show. We are on live right now on Talk Radio X. And we're broadcasting. Did you already do, like, you know, Two Tone Studios at Coral Springs?
Did it all.
Did all that? Did you say hi to everybody?
No, I said screw you, everybody.
You wouldn't say that, would you?
I don't know.
Look, you know, I'm referring to the fine folks over in Johnson City. You wouldn't say, you know, in the Tri-Cities area over at, who are listening on Detour Talk.
Don't push me.
Wow, you're edgy tonight, are you?
I'm edgy every night.
It's a Wednesday night here on the program, by the way,
can I raise my desk up or no?
You want me to? I'll tell you.
I'm doing it. I'm like,
you go ahead
dip down.
Well, I don't know why you put it so low. I'll tell you what. I'll turn the knob and you go ahead lift.
Turn my knob, baby.
That's usually
you have to turn it more, baby.
This usually doesn't happen until after
baby.
The show. Shouldn't you be turning my knob? Wouldn't that make more sense?
More, baby.
Go ahead.
I can't. You gotta turn it.
It's turned. What are you talking about? See? All right. I think that's enough. By the way, when Jessica pulled the thing up, it's too high.
Out.
It's too high. It's too high. Lower. A little higher. A little higher. A little higher.
Don't sell me out, Dan. Don't tell people.
I won't tell anyone that you hit yourself in the face with your own microphone when you raise the desk up. It'll be our secret.
You just told everybody.
I didn't. How are you tonight? Are you okay? It's Wednesday. Hump day. Does that mean anything to anybody? That whole hump day cliche that everyone runs around about.
The hump dance is your chance, doing a hump.
Okay, first of all, we're not. Whoa. We're not interested in any of that. Jessica, can you put the yo-yo down and pay attention here? We're trying to do a radio program.
I'm good.
You're good?
All the time. I can't do things.
Well, look, I'm not saying you can do things. I'm just saying it would be helpful if you just started. Concentrated on participating, that's all.
I am fine with doing two things at once. Give me some bubblegum.
Okay. All right, so, Jessica, is there anything that's on your mind this evening before we get into what we're going to get into tonight?
I'm sorry, what'd you say? I'm just kidding. I got ya.
Zing.
Zing.
All right, enough of you. All right, enough of you. We got a special guest coming on in a few minutes. Are you excited? You don't listen. Hey, look.
Listen.
You don't have to fake it. That's all.
Fans don't excite me.
Okay.
Guests don't excite me.
Fans? What kind of circular fans?
No, like our fans.
Like oscillating fans.
No, like the fans who listen to our show.
There's fans that listen to the show.
Yeah.
All right. They don't excite you?
I'm not excitable easy.
You're not easily excitable, or excitable easily? Dyslexia? Have you?
So you're gonna have to do better. Than
oh, I gotta do better than that to impress you.
Who is our guest tonight?
Our guest is a guy named Ryan Johnson. He is a real life motion picture director.
Where'd you get those strings?
Who knows, right? Who knows how I look into these kinds of things. You remember the movie Brick, right? Which came out a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, with the kid from Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Dang, I can never remember his name.
Well, that was, you know what? I like how you thought about it for, like, not at all, and then just came out with the kid from Third Rock from the Sun.
Well, like, you know.
Like,
I,
if you saw him, would you say that? Would you say, hey, kid from Third Rock from the Sun, hey,
no,
how you doing?
See, I would, see, that's where we have to discuss something.
Okay, go ahead. What do we have to discuss
if
here?
If we ever enter the room with someone who is famous.
Okay.
I will pretend like I don't know who they are because I've not been properly introduced.
Oh, I'm sorry. What does that mean?
You won't. I won't be like, oh, hey, Sylvester Stallone.
So you don't intend to fawn over anybody.
No, I don't fawn over people.
Sylvester
people fawn
Stallone.
Over me. Like, you know me. I'm famous.
You're not famous, though. Nobody knows who you are.
People know.
No.
People know.
Honey, I've been out with you. Nobody knows. In fact, people look at you and they go, who the heck's that?
It's 'cause
how did she get here?
I'm in disguise.
You know, I should. You know what? This reminds me, though. There's like a new little attitude that's been going on with our beloved Jessica lately. And here's
a perfect example. No!
What?
Don't do that.
All right, so.
You gotta make me sound like a snob.
So on, was it Monday that we saw Traitor? Or was it Sunday? I think it was Sunday.
I think it was Sunday.
Sunday, we go to the movies to see Traitor.
All right, well, first you have to preface it with the fact that there was this huge long line.
All right, look.
And nobody went in to see Traitor. It was all like other stuff.
I understand. We went into the city of Boca Raton, which is a city that is full of old people.
The old
full
geezers
of snooty,
are in Boca Raton, right?
Snooty people, old people. I don't know where the real geezers are.
They're in Florida.
You know what
right?
I know? I know they're not on the show, even though I asked them to be.
They said yeah, right?
The person who handles them was like, oh, sure, I'd love to get back to you on that. And then, you know.
I'd love to get back to you.
You know what people love to get back to you? It's,
like,
you know?
It's like the guy who's trying to get me to go training in his little school.
What?
He leaves me voicemails every, like, other day.
Who is this guy? What kind of training are we talking about?
You know, training.
What does that mean? Training for what? Assassin training? Are you being disgusting? What are you doing?
Did you hear that noise?
I did hear that noise. I can't believe that's you doing it. I don't know what Cesar. Something strange is happening to our lovely Jessica. So we go to Boca Raton, to stinky, old, fogy, snooty Boca Raton, and we go to see the movie Traitor, right?
You're a traitor.
And yes, no one is walking in, but once we walk into the theater, and it's like one of the... You know, when you go to the multiplex, there's the different size theaters. There's the big ones, which you want to be in. And then there's like that little one where they say, no one's really going to see this movie, so let's put it in theater 12 where there's 14 chairs. Well, we were in theater 12 where there was 14 chairs, and about, I don't know, 11 and a half of them were full. The lovely Jessica walks halfway down the aisle.
No, it was like right after we got into the door.
No. You were like halfway down the aisle.
Okay, well then my eyes didn't adjust yet.
Okay, you walked in. Jessica saw that everyone was there. And she looked around. And she like held her little hands out. Like, I don't know. Like she just, one went one way, one went the other. And she was like, can you believe this? What are all these people doing here? As though this was like your own person.
I did not say that.
Your eyes said it. You had absolute contempt for that audience, didn't you?
They made me cantankerous.
Now, why would they just wanted to watch the movie just like you?
Well, what the heck did they want to watch that movie for?
You wanted to watch it. What the heck did you want to watch it for?
Well, I wanted to watch it like more by myself.
Oh, I see. You think you're better for some reason.
No.
All right, then the trailers come on. Right?
Why do you gotta continue?
No, because this, you know, I'm just pointing out unusual things that happen. The trailers come on, and we see a very lousy trailer for a movie called My Best Friend's Girl. And you can tell that it's lousy immediately, because Dane Cook is in it. It's like your first tip. And if that isn't enough, so is Jason Biggs. So I'm already hip.
Oh, my God.
This movie's lousy. Yeah. I'm not
the
going to want to see it.
The funny part of this trailer is supposed to be...
Right.
I guess Jason Biggs is getting his eyebrows, like, shaved, like, in the middle.
Okay.
And so he acts... Oh! He shaved... Like, one of the whole eyebrows shaves off. Oh, it's so funny! Oh.
Okay.
See?
Now,
not
when,
funny, is it?
No, it looks
terrible.
Things like that are never funny, especially when they're described. That's why I'm not going to sit here and tell you about, like, my favorite moments from a sitcom, you know? Like that from that
don't
one.
Don't do it. Don't.
I'm not.
It.
I'm not gonna do that. So anyway, when the trailer is over and it's lousy, and I've seen a ton of lousy trailers in my time, and no big deal. You just kind of ignore them and wait for the next one or wait for your movie to come on. Jessica says very loud. She says, "Oh my god!" Just like that.
Oh my god! I know.
And
I was embarrassed.
It was very loud, and I just had the opinion. I'm sorry, the opinion, the feeling that people around us were looking like, "What is with this snotty girl? Why does she think she's better than us?"
I wanted to see that movie. It looked funny.
Oh, it looked so funny, and then now I don't want to see it because Snobby Girl doesn't like it. She's not so interested in
well,
seeing
goodness,
it.
Well, goodness, then I ought to be going in all sorts of movie theaters.
Is that right? So what, you're going to go ahead?
I'm looking down my nose at everybody. You know, I have to look up.
What are you
going to
do? You're going to start ruining the business for lousy films. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Listen, that was all accidental.
It was all accidental.
Yes, the whole... You know, putting my hands up and being all disgusted with the filled movie theater and all old people, too.
Hmm.
And then all the oh my god at the best friend's girl movie. Although people should feel shame for, you know.
For what?
For just wanting to see stupid movies like that.
They should, wait a minute, didn't you went ahead.
Oh no.
And on Monday you said, let's go see The House Bunny.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's true.
So, what makes you that much better?
Is House Bunny in that same category?
You know. Would you call it... It's not exactly, you know, some art film. Right?
Well, I was thinking it was more like chick comedy.
I would just say it's more like dopey comedy.
Dopey comedy,
with,
yeah,
like, boobies running around.
Well...
I mean, they were all... Well, I should rephrase. They were all contained, unfortunately. But, I mean, nonetheless. There's, you know... Lots of cleavage in that movie.
Yes, there was lots of cleavage in that movie.
Which is, you know, hey, by the way, when it comes to cleavage in movies, I say...
All right!
You know what I mean? So, anyway, is this like a new phase in your life where you're becoming a little bit of a snooty, snotty kind of gal?
No!
No?
No!
Okay, I'm just checking. You're going to be a sweet, wonderful gal?
I'm always sweet and wonderful.
Really?
Yes, oh. Except for my best friend's gal. I'll be nasty to them.
Like, it's funny because I was watching that trailer. I was like, oh man, this looks like such dreck. And I'm not, you know, all right, whatever. And then I just hear so loud, oh my god.
Oh, so you were like, I was just saying what you felt.
Yes, you were saying exactly how I felt.
Let me ask you something.
Yes, ask away.
If you heard that and it was someone that wasn't me,
right,
you'd be like, amen, sister.
No, I would think, who the hell do you think you are?
You would defend the movie?
I wouldn't defend the movie.
You would say, who do you think you are? That's what? Like sticking up for your little brother.
I'm not so much defending the movie as much as I am just appalled at your attitude. I'm appalled at the snottiness.
You don't think that certain movies,
yes,
demand such attitude?
That they demand an attitude.
Are you changing your fantasy mogul slate?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just...
Why do you have, like, two movies not there?
What do you thought? I have one that's not there.
Oh.
Yeah, you know why?
No.
One of the movies that I had in my fantasy moguls, which is the fun time movie game that we play here, is The Brothers Bloom. I had that on my fantasy moguls. You know who directed the Brothers Bloom, Jessica?
Why would you have it on? It's in December. Comes out.
Yeah, now it's in December. It didn't move until Monday.
Oh.
So what do you think? I just plucked it from December? It wouldn't have even been on the list. But it just moved this week. So we can ask Ryan Johnson why he's screwing up my Fantasy Moguls list.
Yeah, it's true.
Now I got to find a replacement. $9. It's not easy.
Maybe you shouldn't, like, start, you know, hounding the guests.
I shouldn't hound the guests for Fantasy Mogul picks?
Fantasy Mogul pick, yeah.
Really?
I'm thinking.
Okay. Are you sure? Because I'm thinking about asking him, you know.
Who he thinks he is?
Yeah. Who do you think you are ruining my Fantasy Moguls League this season? Anyway, so The Brothers Bloom, let's talk about that for a quick second. It's about to have its North American, it might be the world premiere, but I believe it's the North American premiere over in Toronto. He's leaving for Toronto tomorrow. Before he goes to Toronto, he's here. So you want to go ahead and bring Mr. Ryan Johnson on with us?
That would be wonderful.
All right.
How nice of him to do this, like, the day before. I was telling you that before, too.
Right? I'm always impressed when anyone's willing to talk to us, to be honest with you.
Oh, just in general?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Sometimes I don't even want to talk to us, you know what I mean?
I don't want to talk to you, really.
Ryan? Ryan Johnson?
Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the Radio Dan Show. My name is Dan. I'm here with Jessica.
Hello.
Very nice.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Jessica. Can you hear me all right?
We can hear you wonderfully. Are you hearing an echo or anything like that?
I'm not, no.
Okay, good. Oh. We're doing good.
All right, Ryan. So I have a ton of questions for you. I hope you're ready.
I've got only one, and we'll get to that like in the middle of the questions.
Oh, is that?
I have only three answers, but I can reword them multiple ways, so I think we'll be all right.
Okay.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Jessica, do you want to get your question out now?
No, I have to think of it first.
Oh. That's the kind of show we're running around here, Ryan. Hope you appreciate that.
Yeah, I know. That's what we do.
Okay, first question. Ryan, R-I-A-N. What's up with that?
I blame my mother.
Yeah, can we get her on the phone now?
Yeah.
let me conference her.
All right, good. I got some questions for her.
I'll yell at her. My parents actually gave me the opportunity to check, because I think they felt kind of bad. When I was like 13, they gave me the chance to change it back to a normal spelling. But at that point, you know, I don't know. At that point, I figured, well.
I like it.
I'm always a little paranoid. People are going to think I changed it in order to be like, you know, a fancy pants artsy director or something. But no, just my mom was, you know, probably on a lot of drugs during the delivery.
I understand that.
So you don't want people to mistake you in like the same category as Jim J. Bullock, who's got the JM instead of JIM, right?
Why do you bring that up?
Yeah, that's probably a step up, actually.
Yeah. Sorry about this, Ryan. Embarrassed already. You know, the one thing that's really cool about Mr. Ryan Johnson here, Jessica, is that he's got to be one of the most easily accessible film directors out there. He has his own website. He's got his own forum, which he posts on constantly.
Yeah, well, that's only for now, I have to say, because, all right, I've seen Brick.
Yes.
And I thought it was freaking phenomenal. And I'm not, and believe me, I'm not a shooter of sunshine. I told the whole movie theater, oh my God, when we watched a movie trailer in the movie theater the other day. So I don't hold back, you know.
Yeah, like she said, oh my, like negatively. Like it came on, and then when it was over, she was like, oh my God. Yeah, and it was for this movie, The Brothers Bloom. Have you heard that?
Oh, no, it wasn't.
No.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
No, but The Brothers Bloom looks good as well.
All right. Now, Ryan, the one thing that was really cool, like when Brick was coming out, it was like you had this grassroots effort to promote it through your website, through your forum. I know because I was going there almost every other day to check to see the theaters that were coming out, you know, and Ryan would have a post that would say, okay, Brick's coming out in Austin, in Miami, you know, well, actually, it took forever, by the way, for South Florida.
Yeah.
It took forever.
Well, we had, and the reason I did that, I was actually telling people the theaters that it was at because they struck like a very limited number of prints. They struck like 40 prints, and they were cycling them around the country. It was like a traveling road show for you know, like the Magic Lantern show back in the 1800s. So it was actually like, you know, it'd be at a theater for a week, and then it would be gone. So I'm glad that, yeah. Sorry it took a while to migrate down there, but the work on the website was not in vain if it told you what theater it was in, I guess.
Yes, it certainly was, because it did. It was like way down in Miami. I mean, remember when we had to go way down?
Grove?
Yeah, it was like
It
was pushing an hour drive, but.
But for you,
worth it, Ryan. Worth it.
Bless you.
Brick was my favorite movie. We saw that, and I remember, I think it was summer of 06 that it came down here. It was my favorite movie that year, without a doubt.
Oh, well, thanks for saying that. Well, Brothers Bloom, I'm going to show up and show it in your living room, so you won't have to drive anywhere.
Oh, fantastic.
Download the projector, and
that's wonderful.
Payback.
That's pretty much why I'm scheduling the interview. I want a little payback. I want a little something in
return.
Okay,
all right.
All right, speaking of Brick, now, is it true you started writing this story back in 1997 for that film?
Yeah, that's when I wrote the script. It was in 97. I graduated from film school in 96, and then, of course, the year after film school, I'm broke, and I'm working, like, as a runner in a post-production house, and that's when I I wrote the script, but then basically spent my 20s getting it financed, trying to figure out a way to make it. But, you know, I had no contacts, I had no social skills, so it was an uphill battle.
Film school didn't give you all those social skills?
Oh, God, are you kidding? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so Brick, now, is it true the budget was $500,000 on that film?
It was just under $500,000. It was like $450,000.
So now, where do you get the $500,000 from? I mean, is this maxing out credit cards plus investors, or how does that work for a first-time filmmaker?
Well, luckily, it wasn't credit cards. After kind of all those years of trying to get it through like legitimate channels, the only reason I was able to make it is my grandfather and my uncle are in the home building business, and they had like a big deal that came through. So they had a big windfall of money all of a sudden, and they were looking for places to put it. And so I got them to put in about half of it. And then once you get a little bit of the money and people see a couple other people are in the pool, we were able to get other people to put in. So it ended up being small donations from friends and family. We just kind of ended up passing the hat around. And at the end of the day, that's the only way we're able to actually get it up on the screen. But which, you know, a lot of movies do, it made it really feel pretty incredible, the fact that it actually got out there and I was able to actually cut a check back to my grandfather felt really good, you know. It made family dinners a lot less awkward.
You know, I've got a question for you, Ryan. A movie with a $500,000 budget, it seems like a lot of money when you're just thinking about that right there, but really it's not to make a movie. When you look back to Brick, is that something that you could say, doesn't matter if it was $3 million or $500,000, I made the movie I wanted, period? Or do you find that you look back at it and think, there are so many things I would change about it if I had the bigger budget?
At the end of Bloom, for instance, I feel like there are lots of things I would change about it, you know, for not even just for budget, but just, I think at the end of any creative process, it's always different than what you imagine starting out, but not in a bad way. Like Brick, I'm looking at the movie now, no, I don't think, you know, I don't think there was anything budget-wise that held us back. I cringe a little bit when there's kind of a romanticism about making movies on a shoestring budget, because, kind of the dirty little secret of making a $500,000 movie is you make it the same way you would make a $3 million movie. You just don't pay people, which doesn't feel good. And it kind of, you know, so what you end up doing is trying to make sure it's a good experience for everyone. And they all get something out of it. But really that's, my producer says this all the time. If you have, you know, $3 million or $500,000, you're going to end up with the same resources, the same amount of time. It's just a matter of what people get paid.
Oh, nice point.
All right, now, how do you go ahead and you rope in Joseph Gordon-Levitt as your lead with very little cash?
Well, I met with Joe. We had the money. It was actually frighteningly close to when we were supposed to start shooting, and we still hadn't found somebody for that part. It was like 2 months away from the start date, and we had the money finally after like, you know, 6-7 years of hunting for money. We finally had it ready to go, and we didn't have anybody to play the main part yet. And I honestly can't remember who set up the meeting. It might have been our casting director. And I had never really watched Third Rock from the Sun, so I didn't know him from that. I Mysterious Skin wasn't out yet, so I rented a movie he did with Don Cheadle called Manic, which he was really intense in. And we just sat down, and he really we instantly, you know, instantly connected. We got along really well, and he was really intrigued by the script. And I think after our meeting went well, he was really into doing it, and it, you know, it just kind of went from that. I mean, Joe's the type of guy where he does basically, because he, you know, did so well with his TV show growing up, he doesn't do projects for anything but, for him, what are the right reasons. You know, he does stuff that he's interested in and that he that's a challenge to him and he wants to do. And luckily for me, he he was into this for that reason. And so he, you know, it didn't matter to him that it was $500,000 movie. He just saw it was something he wanted to be involved in. And so he hopped on board. So I got really lucky, basically, is the answer.
Wow.
All right. One more brick question for you. Richard Roundtree, is he really, really cool or what?
He is the coolest. I don't know what I probably can't say the word that describes him. I don't know what your audience is, but he's the coolest mofo on the planet. He always had a cigar with him. Like anytime he's on film, there's a cigar that he's just set down just out of frame. And more than that, this is like the coolest thing in the world. After his day of shooting, he went karaoke singing with the entire crew.
Oh, awesome!
They all went out to a karaoke bar, and I was actually sick as a dog that day. I missed it. It's one of my big regrets in life. But I have it on good authority. Good authority that he sang a Celine Dion song.
Very Celine Dion. Wait a minute, that's not cool.
When it's Richard Roundtree, it's cool.
Man, how did nobody put the theme to Shaft on? That doesn't – I don't understand that.
They wouldn't dare.
I guess you would have to sing it like me instead of Shaft.
Yeah.
Right? All right. Now, the one thing going from a movie like Brick, which is, you know, on the – you know, shoestring budget. Now you're moving on to like The Brothers Bloom, and is it a $20 million budget? Is that correct? That's a number I read.
I'm not allowed to say the budget, but it was under 20.
It was under 20?
It was under 20, yeah. It was a bit, not much under 20, but it was under 20.
Okay. Now, Brick, it looks like the entire movie is filmed within a five-mile radius, while The Brothers Bloom... bigger budget, you're in Serbia and Romania and the Czech Republic, you're running all around Europe. What is it like to go from such a smaller film to a bigger budget, bigger cast, and now you're globetrotting?
Right. Well, I was terrified because, you know, I mean, just hearing you say that right now gave me butterflies and it's over. No, I mean, it sounds really scary and it seemed really scary, but I mean, the really pleasant thing about this movie for me was, and with all the aspects you mentioned, with the bigger budget, the bigger crew, the traveling, the big movie star actors. Once you actually get your fingers into the dirt and start working on it, it's really exactly the same as doing Brick. I mean, it's hooking up with cool, talented people and trying to tell a story as best you can. And I mean, honestly, all the additional resources only make it easier, you know. And there was the other aspect of it where it, you know, going into it for me, it seemed like, oh my God, we have, you know, 55 days to shoot this and we have all this money and this is going to be, but for the scope of Bloom, I would say in a way that it was probably more ambitious and slightly more crazy to do Bloom for the money we did it for than it was to do Brick for the money that we did it for. It's really a much, much bigger movie than our budget. And that's part of the reason we ended up doing Bloom independently. Also, we got financed independently through this company called Endgame, just because all the studios thought it would be too expensive for kind of how unique and smart the script was, you know, not like a big budget action script, but it had all these elements to it. So but that was the pleasant thing of it, is that it ended up being, you know, all the good parts of Brick kind of you know, just with a better craft service, better food.
See, that's always what really counts, is the food.
That's all we do movies for.
Now, The Brothers Bloom, for those people out there who don't know, can you give a quick synopsis for anyone who might be listening to this program?
Yeah, you bet. It's a con man movie. It's a kind of a con man love story. And when you just say the plot, it sounds very familiar. It sounds like something you've seen before. It's two brothers who are the best con artists in the world. And, it's about the last con they do on this rich, eccentric, millionaires, named Penelope Stamp. And the two brothers are played by Adrian Brody and Mark Ruffalo. And the millionaires is, Rachel Weisz. And that sounds like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, but it's actually quite different. And the whole thing is kind of a fairy tale about con men, and about more to the point, kind of about storytelling and the way that these guys use stories to create their lives, and how they kind of get lost in that. So it's a bit more than what you'd expect, I hope, and it kind of goes off in some directions that maybe you wouldn't expect a con movie to go. That's the gist of it.
All right, you are going to Toronto, to the Toronto Film Festival, to show this movie. Is that correct?
Yeah, tomorrow morning I leave. I'm really excited.
By the way, it's in the 60s and 70s in Toronto tomorrow. Just so you know.
Good to know. I'm packing as we speak.
Very nice weather. So wait, when you take a movie to a film festival, and is this the North American premiere or the world premiere for it?
This is the world premiere, actually. This is the first. We've done a couple just like preview test screenings, but this will be the actual unveiling of the finished film for the first time.
Is this a nerve-wracking experience for you?
Yes. yeah. It's. I mean, it is different than even when we took Brick to Sundance, because nobody knew about Brick. It was completely under the radar. And this is, you know, a new experience for me in that, you know, people know about it and are kind of talking about going in. And, I was kind of, over the past week, I got to a place a couple of times where I was feeling kind of nervous and kind of scared. But now I think the trick is just to get in a state of mind where you're just ready to enjoy it. I mean, I've made a movie that I'm really proud of everybody's work in it. I think it's fun. I think, you know, the people who enjoy it will really enjoy it. So I'm just gonna go and have fun, I hope.
So
and do a lot of drinking. A lot of drinking, I think, is probably the key. That's the real secret ingredient, I think, is scotch.
All right, just not in the morning, okay, Ryan?
Especially in the morning.
Yeah, when you go
when
to
you need it most. in the evening it's recreation. In the morning it's medicine.
Oh, okay. Mix it with some tomato juice, right?
Yeah. Now,
yes, exactly. Yeah.
Now, Toronto, huge film festival. Do you intend to? All right. Are you in a wind tunnel or something, Ryan? What's going on? You feel
Am
okay?
I? Are you hearing? Is it sound funky?
Yeah. I don't know. Are you sneezing or something's going on? I don't know.
I think I guffawed. I almost like threw up my stomach when you reminded me how huge the film festival was.
Okay.
Good job, Dan.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's what happened.
Yes, it's huge. Do you plan to go and catch other films while you're there? Look at the competition.
Yeah, I really want to see as many as I can. I'm definitely seeing Aronofsky's movie, The Wrestler, which I'm really excited to see. And what else? I think I'm going to get to see the Coen Brothers movie, Burn After Reading. And I'm going to try and sneak into as many as possible. It's tough because they I don't really know exactly what to expect with it, but I think there's going to be a lot of interviews and press and stuff. So I have a feeling the days will be pretty full, but I'm hoping to have some time. So yeah, that's the fun part about the festivals is trying to actually see a movie or two that you didn't make. You know?
Ryan, are you like a huge movie fan yourself, or is this just something that, you know, career-wise, you were like, yeah, I guess that's what I'll go.
Oh
towards.
No, I'm a massive film nerd. I was one of those terrible kids who was running around with a video camera when they were, you know, when they were 12, and I've just kind of always done it and always wanted to do it, and it's still kind of surreal to me that I'm actually getting to. At least, you know, so far, knock on wood, do it for a living. It's still kind of baffles me every morning. But we'll see. This will all be over in a few years, and I'll be, back to working. I don't know, working as a runner, I think.
We won't even take your call at that point.
Yeah.
Ryan, who? That guy.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be calling in every other day. Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh,
yeah.
I saw you.
We got no time for you.
I saw your last movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It stunk. Now, Ryan, for you writing, you wrote The Brothers Bloom, correct? You write your movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
God,
that's lots of stuff to do.
that's lots of stuff.
Right. It was a big to do list. Number one was write scripts. Number two, make it.
See, it's a big deal. Jessica.
That sounds tiring.
Each of those things on the list though were 5 feet tall, so it took a lot of time to cross each of them out.
Writing a con movie, a movie about con artists, has to be so difficult because, for me, when I watch any movie that's about cons, you know, you're instantly, and even if you're not intentionally doing it, you're always looking for where are they trying to fool me here?
And if you figure it out, you're so you could be judgmental, I figured that out too soon.
Yeah, so is that the kind of thing? Did you think about that? Does that make you nervous? Does that play into it?
Wow, I'm just gonna terrify me.
I just want to harp on all your fears tonight. That's all.
I hope you thought about that, Ryan.
I know. Yeah, I haven't before, but Jesus, now I'm gonna just hide under my bed. I'm not even going to Toronto anymore. This will be. I guess something that you give a lot of thought when you're doing it. But I actually, I tried to turn that around and use it to the film's benefit. And I don't want to give too much away. You guys will see the movie, but it, hopefully, what it does is kind of uses that expectation that the audience has. Because that was the tricky thing about it. It's essentially, at its heart, it's a really sincere love story, which is really a challenge when you're doing that in the context of a con man movie, exactly because of what you said, Dan, is that just by the nature of the genre, you're trained as an audience member to never trust anyone, and so to never emotionally invest in anyone. And so that was kind of actually the unique challenge that got me excited about was, okay, can you do a con man movie where – it's a character-based con man movie and where it's a love story. And I don't know. I hope you guys will I'll check back in with you after you see the movie and see if I was able to pull it off or if I failed miserably.
You know what I like?
One of those two.
See how easily accessible this guy is? He's
going to
check back in. He's going to call everyone who sees the movie and ask what they thought.
I am actually, terrifyingly enough. And then, yeah. They didn't like it. I'll say, why not? Why not?
What can I change for next time? So, Ryan,
yeah, exactly.
How many
rewrites?
How many stories have you kind of wrote or thought up, or is this something you continuously have going on in your head? Like, oh, that could be a story. Oh, that could be a story. Or is it like, I want to do this type of movie, and then you do it, and you pretty much wrote two so far?
Yeah, counting Brick and this, yeah, that's a total of two, actually. Well, I'm in the middle of writing the next one that I want to make, so I guess it's three or two and a half so far. But I'm a really lazy writer, so it actually takes me a couple of years to, from when I first have the grain of an idea to develop it into something that could fill up 2 hours of an audience's time. And I have a lot of kind of just seeds of ideas, I don't have any like screenplays or full-fledged ideas sitting in a drawer. If I did, I would sell them to Michael Bay and make lots of money and then
Since you said that. All right.
I should have warned you.
All right.
Oh, dear.
It's the anti-Bay campaign over here.
Listen.
Oh, no.
One reason that Ryan Johnson is completely awesome, Jessica, I don't even know if I should mention this on the air, but on his website, he has a wide array of different links for you to click on. There is a link that is called the funniest... I think it's the funniest thing on the internet is what the link is. And then you click it, and then it takes you to a page that says, get ready for the funniest, most hilarious thing you'll ever see in your life, blah, 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 blah. And then you click it, and it goes to michaelbay.com.
Oh, you got – have you poked around it? And by the way, I think he's – it's funny because I've seen, like, some stuff that he's done, like commercials he's done lately. He's completely self-aware of, like, his persona, and he – God bless him. He revels in it, you know. And I'll also totally wimp out and kind of meter that by saying I think the guy shoots action sequences like you know, he's one of the best guys out there at shooting big commercial action sequences. He knows how to blow shit up better than any
edit.
Bleep it.
Yeah, Michael Bay kind of looks like my dad.
Whoa!
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's a little freaky.
That's gotta be crazy. There you go.
Yeah, but the the egoless.
I'm sorry, I insulted
poor...
him on my website.
Then. You can redirect.
Your father.
All right. Now I don't know what you're working on now, what you're writing now, Ryan, but I just want you to know Dan Delgado is a great character
Dan
name.
D-E-L-G-A-D. Yeah, gotcha.
Thank you very much. Just
yeah, it's the story of a radio show.
Yes. About time. It's about time I got over.
And that's Laid Under Siege by Michael Bay.
Yeah.
In retaliation for. And then Jessica, you have to deal with your father issues once Michael Bay breaks in. How are you going to shoot Michael Bay when it's your father's eyes looking at you?
Pull the trigger,
this writing,
Jessica.
This is writing itself. What was I talking about 2 years for a script? This is done. This is out the door. I'm making this.
We already have the climax. It's very exciting. You know, you've got such a good cast here with Brothers Bloom, Adrian Brody, Mark Ruffalo, Rachel Weisz. But the one guy I really want to ask you about is Maximilian Schell. Is that guy as intimidating as I think it would be to meet Maximilian Schell?
If he was, I would be dead right now. No, he's actually like a real sweetheart. I don't know if I should say that, if it undercuts his persona, but he's just like the sweetest guy in the world. But he's also he's an older gentleman. He is like an ox. He's got so much energy, and he's doing like 8 things at once. He's directing a film now. He's just directed an opera. He's traveling all over.
Whoa.
He's one of those like old school, jack of all trade guys who just puts you to shame, you know. But he was probably the person I was most nervous of, like, sitting down and working with, obviously, but he was so supportive and so just, you know, so sweet and so good at what he did. It ended up being just really fun, actually.
Really? See, I don't know. He just he looks larger than life to me.
He is, my God. But it's totally humiliating because the thing that I don't know if you can guess what the movie I know him best from is.
The Black Hole.
Think about my film geek background. Can you guess it?
The Black Hole?
The Black Hole.
Yes.
Maximilian Reinhardt in The Black Hole. Yes.
And Judgment at Nuremberg? No.
Yes, exactly. And even worse than that fact being true is that I somehow thought it was a good idea to tell him this. And I don't think he remembered doing that movie.
Wow.
I'm sure he did. But of course, he's great in Tough Cappy, and which is a completely insane film, but it's brilliant, you know. So he's one of the greats, man. He's telling us stories about, you know, drinking with Brando, and he's old school. He's one of the guys.
All right, now one last thing I want to ask you about. You've moved the date. The release date, maybe it wasn't you personally. I'm guessing the studio had some input here.
I had a lot to do with it, actually. But yeah, go ahead.
Do you really? Okay. Wow, that's impressive.
Wow, now you've opened the door for our little fantasy mogul bashing.
All right. It goes from October 24th, and now it's going to be released December 19th, limited, and then wide in 2009. Is that right?
Right. It's... It's January 16th, so it's a few weeks in January. Yeah.
Okay, so now listen. First of all, any truth that you're taking advantage of Harry Potter moving to 2009? Is that right?
we're right in that young wizard demographic.
Yeah.
You know, anytime a movie has moved now, it's because that's what goes on the internet. Oh, it's because of Harry Potter moved.
No, Harry Potter was scared of us. They moved because they saw Bloom come in, and they thought, we better get our Broadway naked ass out of the way before,
before
this 600-pound gorilla hits. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, by the way. I'll admit that publicly. The reason for the move was actually, and it's actually a it's actually a really, really good thing for the movie. I was, you know, there's the impatient side of me that just wants to get the movie out there and seen as soon as possible. But the truth is that October and November, and especially the date that we're on in October, is a really crowded time movie-wise, and it's crowded with a lot of prestige movies that are coming out. And it's that whole area of the schedule, and it's kind of a tank of sharks. So our original plan to just kind of open big and stack all our chips on that date, we would have had a couple of weeks at tops to either perform really well, or we would be gone. We would be like out of theaters pretty much, just because there are so many other movies competing. Mm-hmm. So it made a lot more sense to take a breath, delay it for, you know, a few months, which also, by the way, will give us more time to get the word out, for me to go around to festivals and do screenings and get the word of mouth going a little more with it. And then open in just a couple theaters in New York and L.A. in December and be able to concentrate on those. And then in January, when things are a little more wide open and there's, you know, a little less competition, be able to go out wide. So I'm – obviously, I want to get the movie out there as soon as possible, but actually I was really supportive and really kind of one of the instigators of this change, and I actually think it'll be really good for the film in the long run.
All right, very nice, very nicely put, Ryan. All right,
but hey, maybe I should be a mogul.
I'm telling. Well, look, like, here's my issue. Okay, I have a yeah, personal issue here. I play a game called Fantasy Moguls. It's totally. Yeah. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't. It's true. This is a real
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's like fantasy football, but
it's
for movies.
It's like fantasy football, but instead it's for movies, right? And
okay.
The season, it's always a 3-month slate, the season I'm in now, it ends at the end of October, and you have a budget of $100. You pick real movies that are coming out. Each movie is assigned a certain dollar value.
Oh, I see where this is going.
That's right. That's right. Now I had spent.
Oh, no.
$9 on the Brothers Blue.
Oh.
And now it's been moved out of the season.
You know what? I owe you a six-pack of Corona.
Thank you very much.
$9 is going right back in your pocket. Next time I'm down south, I'm paying you off, man.
Excellent, excellent. You know, by the way, when you go around and you do screenings, keep Florida in mind because nobody else does. Everyone bypasses this state, and I understand there's lots of hurricanes here and whatnot, but nonetheless, you know, give us a chance.
Well, it's all about the festivals. What's the big – there's a Fort Lauderdale festival down there, right? Is there any festivals that happen in the fall down in Florida?
October is the Fort Lauderdale Film Festival.
It is? Okay.
Yes. It's in mid-October to the beginning of November. It's actually, I believe, the longest-running film festival. Like, I think it takes 28 days to finish the entire thing, something like that. It's very long.
Let me get on the phone to our non-fantasy moguls.
Thank you very much, Ryan Johnson.
Nice.
Ryan, I can't thank you enough for coming on here and spending a lot of time with us. It's a lot of fun having you on.
Especially the day before you're flying out to Toronto. That was awesome.
Oh, please. I'm doing laundry all day. I'm doing nothing.
Okay,
nothing
cool.
Going.
All right, well.
It was great talking to you guys.
All right, have a safe flight. Good luck in Toronto.
All right, thanks, Andrew. Thanks, guys. I'll talk soon.
All right, bye.
All right.
You know what I like? When just now he was hanging up, you know what he said? I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to see him again or something.
Yeah.
I like that attitude.
You know what? He hasn't been in the business long enough to get the whole, all right, have a nice life.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. All
ending
right.
To a call. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for wasting up a half hour of my time. I'll see you later, like everybody else does around here. Anyway, that was a really nice interview, by the way.
That was great, yes.
Good job on your part, Jessica.
Good job. That's a lot of stuff.
That's
a
lot of stuff. Next Wednesday, it doesn't stop there. Next Wednesday, we have another guest coming on, Danny Yount. Now, I really don't know how much we can discuss with Danny Yount. He designs title sequences for movies. He did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and he did Iron Man, which, by the way, that title sequence was at the end of the movie. I should have asked Ryan about putting title sequences at the end, if he does that in Brothers Bloom.
Well,
that's a pet peeve of mine.
You can't really – you kind of gave – you gave you little pet peeves with the Michael Bay and the...
He had it on his website. I thought it was funny. I just wanted to mention it. I thought it was really cool. Like, when I saw that, I was like, wow, this guy is actually putting out a little bit of a diss to Michael Bay. That's really funny. And it's really ballsy, too, by the way.
It is, considering.
Right, right.
You don't want to make people mad. But, you know, from what he said, it sounds like Michael Bay is a little bit more...
He's okay with that kind of stuff. Anyway. So we've got Danny out next Wednesday. The Wednesday after that. See, what I'm trying to do, what I want to do is make Wednesday an interview day.
Okay.
So the Wednesday after that, we're going to have on a television critic who we're going to discuss the fall schedule, what's coming out, new TV shows, that kind of thing.
Great idea, Dan.
By the way, we watched a new TV show last night.
Are we going to talk about that?
Yeah.
It's a little embarrassing, though.
What are you talking about? See, here's the thing. I embrace my television watching habits, all of the awful things that I watch, all of the embarrassing things. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with last night I watched a little, yeah, a little 90210 millennium style.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah.
No?
Yes.
Well, so me and you watched the new 90210,
and
two
it's
whole
like
hours, by the way.
With like just, mm-hmm. I mean, what's her name? I always think of her name as Becky because she was from Full House, the wife of
Lori Loughlin.
Lori Loughlin, okay? She has been on like 100 little TV shows in the past 5 years.
And you know what's funny about Lori Loughlin? Hasn't aged a day.
No, she looks phenomenal.
She's got, you know what, she's got like one of those paintings in her closet that's actually aging instead.
Oh, the Dorian Gray thing.
Yes, that's what's going on. There's some sort of funny shenanigan deal there.
Yes.
You mark my words. Anyway, so yeah, the new 90210 seems like very similar
Pepper
to the old
familiar
one.
Familiar faces, though. I mean, first, you've got one of the kids from the Cheetah Girl movies, which the only reason we know that is because of...
Oh, yeah, but he was not one of the Cheetah Girls. He was just, like, one of the guys in the movie.
Yes, he was in that movie recently.
Right, okay.
We've just seen him. Then you have Eden from Nip Tuck, the little stepsister.
The little what?
The little Lolita stepdaughter of Julia.
Yes.
And she's evil. I guess I don't want to make her too evil because she still has to be part of the crew.
Well, look,
she's got to be like a Sharon Doherty type of. She's a little bad, but eventually she's probably going to be the good one, and then she'll sneak back into being bad again.
I guess so. I don't know. Whatever. Best of all, though, Jessica Walter playing
the same thing.
Playing the same character. It's not the same, you know, same name, same person. But essentially, it's the same character that she played on Arrested Development.
Yes. Not as funny.
No, not quite as funny. But nonetheless, she is funny. And it does help the show out significantly. Like, anytime she's on screen, I'm actually enjoying it a lot more. And I wouldn't have guessed that. So, did you enjoy watching like, you were not really wanting to watch it, I'm guessing, right?
Not really wanting, because you gotta understand, this show is for, like, young adult. I mean, characters are, like, 14 and 15 years old.
Right.
One girl just turned 16, well, supposedly.
I know, they're all, like, 35.
Yes.
They're all my age, okay? Don't let anybody fool you out there. Come on.
Who else is on that? Another guy from 90210, or maybe Melrose Place?
I don't know. What are you talking about? The husband. Oh, was he on Melrose Place?
He was on something.
He looks familiar, but I'll tell you what. After, like, that first season of Melrose Place, I didn't watch it. No. So I only know, like, Grant Shoe and, Billy with his mouth hanging open half the time.
I'm trying to think. I don't think that there's anybody else I recognize from that. From the show.
Well, the one thing is it looks like the formula is essentially the same. You've
exactly
got the kids coming
same.
From the from wherever, from Podunk Town, and now they're in the crazy world of West Beverly High.
Ooh.
And then they go ahead and see what's really smart of them is to keep that essential formula and not rely very heavily on the fact that they've got a couple of old 90210 people in there. Because, I mean, you bring those back for a little nostalgia, and maybe that's why I was watching a little bit, to say, oh, look, there's friggin' Jenny Garth and Shannon Doherty again. But no one else real. I don't think you'd get a big crowd if you brought those people back in and you focused on them.
No,
but you put
them
in the
so
background,
either.
And it makes it a little more interesting. Like, Jenny Garth, you know, she's on it. I know she's only in a few episodes, but it looks like she actually has a purpose as opposed to just being a gimmicky cameo.
Which is funny because
kinda works.
I heard that she's not going to be on it very long.
No, I think she's on four episodes or something like that. Somewhere around, though. I mean, I don't know.
Anyway, they're doing the shows well this year. Instead of showing you one of the shows, they show you two. Because one is enough to, like,
you
get
mean,
you...
You mean just for the premiere?
Yes, premieres. Okay. A lot of premieres. Prison Break did 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't do 2 hours. It's not like it's a two-hour show. It's 2 one-hour shows. And it's so that you can get nice and baited. You know, you catch it for the first one. First one's really not going to sink its teeth into you.
Yeah,
you watch
two,
and you're a little bit more pot committed to it.
That's
and I
true.
Think that that's very.
That's true because the pilot
smart.
Is always there to set things up. Now, you know what? You mentioned Prison Break, and I know we only have like a minute left on the show, but we got to go ahead and mention that we watched the premiere of Prison Break. Now, Prison Break is a show that I know is stupid, but I watch it anyway. Is that acceptable?
That's
that I
acceptable.
Know it's stupid?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll tell you what. It gets dumber every year. Because this year, there's not even a prison to break out of. It's now like the Prison Break Detective Agency, where all of the characters are out, and then they found a purpose to bring them all together, and then they give them a mission. Okay, now you guys, you got to get this. You got to get the MacGuffin, and you guys all have to work together. You know, and it's funny because they're explaining it. All right, we've rounded up some other guys to help you out, and it's like the other dudes who are breaking out with them.
Yeah,
come
on. We know you trust them.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's how they're selling it to you. Whatever. All right, I'm watching anyway because I'm embarrassed. I don't care. Anyway, thank you for joining us on the Radio Dance Show. We'll be back again tomorrow night. Please stick around. Live test show is coming up right now with our good pal, Antibert. And say goodnight, Jessica.
Good night, Jessica.
Yamma, 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 yamma. Whoopee-doo, Scooby-Doo, and gobbledygook.